And I do see increasing interest in senior executives looking at their behaviors. Sometimes they're in organizations and they get feedback, 360 feedback, or they just get more input than they might have years ago to help them get better perspective on themselves. I think self-awareness is everything, the most effective leaders that I work with.
Hello and welcome to Love as a Business Strategy, the podcast that brings humanity to the workplace. We're here to talk about business, but we want to tackle topics that most business leaders tend to shy away from. We believe that humanity and love should be at the center of every successful business. I'm your host, Jeff Ma, and as always, I want to have some conversations with real people and hear some real stories and talk about real business in the real world. My guest today is Gail Lance, the dynamic founder and CEO of Work Matters Incorporated, specializing in visioning, strategic planning, and team and executive development. Gail has guided businesses such as NASA, Microsoft, Southern Company, UAB, Protective Life, as well as many other small and mid-sized firms, and she helps them shape cultures and ignite transformation. Gail's the host of the CEO on the Go podcast, which is ranked in the top 5% of all podcasts globally. I'm going to have to find out how she did that later. And she's the author of the award-winning book, Take the Bull by the Horns, and creator of the Leadership Journal, which is available on Amazon. Before starting her business over 20 years ago, Gail held an officer-level position with TIAA, a leader in its industry serving those in the academic, medical, cultural, and research fields. Her voice and her work have been featured in local, national, and global business publications, including Business Week, Harvard Management Update, Fast Company, Wall Street Journal Online, and the New York Times. A regular voice in elite publications from the Wall Street Journal and New York Times, as I mentioned, she's pushing the boundaries and redefining what's achievable. So please join us as we dive deep into the thoughts of Gail Lance. Welcome to the show.
Oh, no. Hey, thanks.
Gail, such an amazing kind of resume of things that we just listed, but I always am most curious out the gate about you as an individual, as a human, and especially where your passions kind of reside. Can you share a little bit about what you're passionate about and how you found that passion?
Yeah, it probably found me. I think the passion that has been the common thread throughout most of my life is helping people through difficult experiences, difficult emotional issues. So I think in the way that I operate now, working mainly with senior executives, when I look back, I can see that pattern and how it even started with me as a child, having to work through some challenges. Usually they're in the area of some kind of transition when you're moving from one phase to a next, or moving from something that you've known well to something that's very different, getting out of your comfort zone. Those are all kind of the themes that I'm drawn toward that I want to help people through. I've just done it differently over the years.
How did you find your niche kind of in, like, as you mentioned, you work a lot with CEOs, topmost leaders. It's a small audience overall compared to, you know, the greater audience out there. Mm-hmm. And it's a much needed thing, but how did you find that place where you really found yourself excelling in that specific type of consulting and help?
Yeah, well, I think it probably stemmed from the experience that I had when I was in the corporate world as an executive at a pretty young age in my 20s, having a lot of responsibility. And in that time in my life, it was very stressful and I was traveling a lot, still figuring things out. And I knew that I'd gotten to a point where something needed to change and I didn't know exactly what, and that I would need some help figuring it out. And so I sought out an executive coach at the time when I was in that place in my life and my work where I just knew there's something else that I need to be doing. Something here needs to change. I just couldn't do it on my own. So I think that kind of grounded me in the path that I took to want to work with other people who were kind of like I was, where they had been in their career for a while, working in high-level leadership roles, but they just needed a kind of a voice of reason or a thinking partner to help them move through some of the difficult situations. So I think that's probably where I started applying that to the executive market. But I've really wanted to help people in general for a really long time. I started out kind of in the mental health field, just helping people with really serious issues, suicidal, homicidal, really challenging mental health issues. So I think it prepared me well, actually, for some of the experiences and projects that I've been working on since then.
Amazing. Absolutely. And one of the reasons I was excited about today's conversation is because you do work, like as you mentioned, with all these like executives and people who are driving the vision direction of these larger organizations, which impacts, you know, hundreds of people that work with them or under them. But the topic today was like, I could have talked about a lot of things, but I really want to dive into like purpose and meaning. And I think it's all connected because I think that a lot of people in the workplace today, I won't generalize, but you will hear a lack of purpose sometimes, a lack of meaning for them personally. And it's tied often to also the organization and indirectly or directly to the leaders in the organization. And there's this thread that's sometimes missing between a business's vision and their kind of values and their just what they're out there to do, and how leadership represents it, how they bring that forward, and how they drive that through and down to each individual. And there's so much power when we talk about culture and we talk about love as a business strategy that's driven from having that purpose. And so I really wanted to pick your brain today around this topic, and hopefully you can kick us off maybe almost like a 101, if you will, when you say purpose driven.
Yeah.
What does that mean to you?
Yeah. Well, I think purpose, and like you said, it's a really big topic. And it's been out there a lot, you know, the purpose driven, fill in the blank. But I think for me, purpose, there's like the purpose with a big P, like what is the purpose of life? You know, purpose, why you're here, the big questions. And then there's purpose maybe with the smaller P, you know, what, like, why are we having this meeting? Why are we holding this workshop? Right. Yeah. So I think they're both important. So it depends on where we go. If we're talking about our life, then it's really important. Even in business, it's important to think about the bigger purpose and to just make sure there's as much alignment as possible with the work you're doing and what you consider to be your purpose in the bigger picture. And I think to your point, a lot of people don't either know how or they've lost sight, and leaders need to help keep purpose front and center. And it's really hard for them, especially today, because the pace of change is so fast. There's so much distraction, all the other employee issues, burnout, people, you know, leaving their jobs. So sometimes purpose gets thrown out the window when you're just trying to get through the day. And I really like that you emphasize that leaders play such an important role in that process, when sometimes they themselves have lost sight of why they're doing what they're doing.
Yeah. There's a bit of the put your own oxygen mask on before helping others situation going on.
Yeah.
So what does a purpose-driven leader look like to you? Like if you were painting that picture of the ideal state when it comes to purpose, like paint me that picture.
Yeah, that's a great question. I think they're fairly confident and know what their values are, what they stand for. They're clear on their mission. So they kind of exude that kind of confidence and spirit of everything that they do. Really, it's evident that purpose is what's driving them. It's not hidden. It's not something that people would have to wonder about. People in their organization see that clearly in them, so that they understand what it is that's really driving them. If that makes sense. I mean, I think everybody's purpose is a little different, and how they interpret purpose is different.
Yeah, in my travels in my conversations, I come across what I would consider many purpose-driven leaders. But what I find kind of more often is surprising is that those same leaders aren't necessarily able to bring that out of others,
mm-hmm.
or translate it into others, or, you know, they're highly visible. I feel that their drive and their purpose is on display.
Mm-hmm.
But can you talk a little bit about why that might happen, or where we need to focus on to address that?
Why there's a disconnect?
Yeah.
Is that what you're asking?
Absolutely.
Yeah, I think sometimes there are assumptions made at the top. You know, you leave the leadership meeting, you say, okay, we're just going to tell our people this. Here's the message. And depending on how that's delivered, it may fall flat if leaders haven't really considered how they can communicate the message in a way that resonates with the people in the organization. I've shared this example before in other conversations, but I remember when I was in the corporate world and we had the CEO kind of explaining our vision and mission, and it took over an hour. It became very complicated in the way that it was just kind of a monologue and kind of hard to grasp or buy into. So I think the more modernized approaches involved having conversations with people, with team members, to help get them understanding and talking about what does that purpose mean to them. So I don't think it can be dictated. I don't think it can just be communicated down the line. I think purpose is something that really deserves to be in the conversations that leaders can have. And that's where I see my best clients, the leaders that are purpose-driven, making sure that they're weaving that back into the conversation in some way and reorienting people around why we're doing what we're doing.
That makes so much sense, because what I see all too often is that there's this invisible kind of hazy line drawn when it comes to, if you look at an organization as you climb the ranks, and for some reason beyond a certain line, every leader above that line starts viewing these types of topics as tactics and strategies for mm-hmm. a like faceless sea of people that are beneath the line.
Mm-hmm.
And that's where you consistently see these culture initiatives come out as like words and mm-hmm. and just kind of like catchy catchphrases and inspirational kind of messages. And I love that you kind of pointed out the need to still have the conversation and break through that line a little bit, even mm-hmm. if you're all the way at the top, to stay connected, right?
Yeah. And that can happen a lot of ways. You know, a lot of the experiences that I create with organizations is having people share stories, specific examples where that purpose is evident in the organization, where they're modeling what needs to be happening. And that's a very tangible way to help employees understand what it is that the organization is trying to do and why. So I really like introducing the element of storytelling in that process.
Oh, absolutely.
Mm-hmm.
I'm curious, there's a saying that's used a lot, I guess, that it's lonely at the top.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I can't help but see that play out truthfully in a lot of cases. And when I connect that to our conversation here, and we're talking about this, it's really a drive. This is like it's driven and, you know, driven through passion. It's part of our why we wake up in the morning and all these things that make us mm-hmm. combine for our satisfaction and our like kind of gratitude in the world. And then you have this like element of loneliness when you're a leader, feeling like you're pushing these types of things alone.
Mm-hmm.
And I see a stark contrast between kind of what the leader wants and the leader has a vision for, and then you trace it all the way down to kind of last seat, last row.
Mm-hmm.
And what they want and what they are passionate about.
Mm-hmm.
What's the best way to kind of connect that lonely leader at the top kind of down and make them feel a little less lonely? I feel like a lot of that loneliness is that no one else is driven or purpose driven the way that they are.
Yeah. Well, and that's a big question with there are multiple answers that are coming to mind, but one of the obvious things to do is to connect them with the front line. just to have them spend more time there, to understand, to build relationships at all levels within the organization. Part of the problem, it can be structural if the top leaders are more isolated and they really don't have the opportunity to engage with people at all levels. So there are ways to create that. And even apart from town hall meetings and that kind of approach where you just pile a bunch of people in a room and you're asking questions, I'm talking about having a coffee, a one-off, you know, join me for breakfast. Like I want to have a one-on-one if I'm a CEO or a senior executive, just for the purpose of listening, just to get a pulse on what's going on. No pressure. I'm just wanting to make sure I understand what the issues and challenges are and how I can help support you. So it doesn't need to be a formal interview process. It doesn't need to be a formal mentoring program. I know there are a lot of them out there and that can be great too, but it really does not have to be complicated. It just starts with the intention to reach people within different parts of the organization and to foster that conversation among each other too, because chances are it's not just the leader at the top, there are other leaders as well that probably need to be better connected to other parts of the organization. So perpetuating that. The other answer that came to mind is helping leaders who are feeling lonely to find their own peer networks. And bounce some ideas around with some of their peers. I run those senior executive and CEO peer groups as well. So there you might find some ideas based on what someone else is doing, you know, who's feeling the same way, and getting some outside perspective that can be really valuable too. So
that makes sense.
Yeah.
A theme striking through here in the conversation. CEOs, get out of your office. Go talk to people.
And get out of your head. You know, that's the problem, because a lot of times you are the only one that knows kind of all the moving pieces, and you feel such pressure, this heavy load. So I think it's really important to get the other perspective and inspiration too that you can find from other people who are doing similar things and who can support you in the work that you're doing.
Gail, I know you work a lot in kind of like the visioning, the planning, strategic kind of side of things. When working with leadership in this context, how often would you say, you know, behaviors come up? I feel like there's a lot of, and this is like a loaded question because, you know, obviously I have my view on this, but I think a lot of leaders have a lot of problems to solve, a lot of, you know, more problems than solutions. And, you know, as leaders, you're looking for that plan. You're looking for that strategy. You're looking for that tactic to guide you through it and make it make sense. And I feel not often enough, we're putting that to the side a little bit and also talking about behaviors. When I say behaviors, I mean like how you actually kind of have self-awareness about yourself, how you show up in an actual space, how you present yourself, how you communicate, and all those things. Where does that sit in your formula?
It's an important element, and I do see increasing interest in senior executives looking at their behaviors. Sometimes they're in organizations and they get feedback, 360 feedback, or they just get more input than they might have years ago to help them get better perspective on themselves. I think self-awareness is everything. The most effective leaders that I work with are self-aware, or they're working on that. It's something that they understand is so important. And they're even going so far as to identify some of the key behaviors that they would like to model or take on. I'm a huge advocate of not trying to be somebody that you're not, leveraging your own natural strengths and way of being and the way that you behave naturally. However, that being said, sometimes there's some tweaks or some adjustments that you can do to help make you more effective. There are assessments that you can use that help pinpoint some areas that might want to help improve effectiveness too. So I think behavioral and communication styles specifically are incredibly important. And I'm excited that more companies are putting a stronger focus on that. You can have the best strategy. You can map out the most beautiful plan, have all the steps. It does not matter if you've got people who are misunderstanding each other, or where there's conflict created, or they're not talking to each other. to make it happen. And so that's, I think that's a really important part of the process.
Agreed.
And it's usually becoming more important after you've had a major problem.
Yeah, unfortunately, that is true. It generally seems to be the case. That's when I get the phone call, at least.
Yeah, yeah.
When it comes back to, coming back to purpose, and when it comes to, what would you say to a leader who may not have a clear statement or an understanding for themselves of what their kind of purpose and their drive is? I just want to make money. I want to make this company successful. I just want to be, business, like the top of the business world. Yeah. How do you help them out?
Yeah. So first of all, I would say that's perfectly fine. There's no judgment here. I think if they're eager or curious to know what is my purpose, to help them understand that it's not something that you necessarily have to work hard at figuring out. I believe that your purpose is there and that it can be revealed, that that you have a lot of stuff in the way. I don't know how to describe this in the best way, but maybe you can relate to it. You're super busy. You've just got all these things that you're doing. So you have a lot of stuff that's in the way that's keeping you from even seeing what the purpose is. And I also think that that your purpose can change over time, depending on what you experience, who you are. I know that's been my personal experience when I was well into my business, probably 10 years or so. And my dad became very ill. He had Alzheimer's, and I had to take about a year off. Our family was really trying to help him. And I started learning about dementia, Alzheimer's. Like, I kind of put my business on the side. My purpose, which ordinarily, work matters, want to help companies bring more meaning and purpose to work and help engage employees and create great leaders, all that I didn't care about at that moment, given the personal issues. I felt like my mission, my purpose at that time, was to help educate people about the importance of learning more about dementia and how to cope, because that's what I was doing. And I flew to the Alzheimer's Association in Chicago, started building relationships with them. I felt like a different person had emerged, at least temporarily. And that became my purpose at that time, different from my business purpose. I think you can kind of have multiple purposes too, but that was the one that was front and center that I felt like I had to act on. And I still feel strongly about it today, but I remember feeling like there wasn't much I could do to help him at that point, but I wanted to help others. And I actually ended up speaking at one of their corporate partner events just by building that relationship. And then I came back after my dad had passed and said, okay, I'm going to re-enter my business and kind of reestablish what my new purpose is. And I think that my business has also progressed differently because I sense that I still have an underlying purpose of wanting to help people and organizations move through change and transition and difficult experiences, but the way I do it has shifted. And I think the perspective that I had, even because of what I experienced with my dad, makes me better at what I'm doing in this next iteration of how I'm evolving my business. Does that make sense?
Absolutely. And I really appreciate you sharing that story. Thank you for that, because not only is it an important kind of humanizing element of who you are and what you bring to the table, but it's an amazing, almost an aha moment for me, in the sense that, like, when we talk about purpose, I guess I'm guilty of kind of framing it as this like calling from a higher place, and this thing that is like so well formulated and kind of like you just like stays with you from like all your life.
The perfect statement. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. And I love that. It's just real. It's like in the moment, it's what you can't stop thinking about. It's what you want to make happen. And that can be your purpose, and it can add on to another one. You can shift from here to there. And I think that's really important for my mindset, at least, to shift around what it means to be purpose-driven.
Yeah. Yeah. And to not lock into it. If you think that your purpose has kind of evolved, to be open to that, to not follow it and be letting that be, be the beacon when you need it to be, but also be willing to look at it differently or evolve that if you need to at the same time.
I love it. Such a shift. And it's so important. I think for me, when I think of my purpose, for instance, doing this podcast and coming here and wanting to help people, maybe I need to kind of, you know, shift, you know, where my like core driving purpose. You get so stubborn kind of to yourself, like almost as if you committed to something.
Yep. And, I can relate.
You don't want to give up on it, but deep in your heart, it might have shifted a little. Not that it needs to go away. It just means that you need to like rethink it, have that growth mindset around it.
Yeah. It's so interesting you said that, because just before this interview with you, I did a session on podcasting for a group of entrepreneurs. And we started getting into questions about what technology do you use, and how many episodes should you have, and how long should they be, and how do you run it, and all that. And finally, you know, I just really wanted to leave them with the idea of, why do you want to do it to start with? What is the real purpose for wanting to start a podcast or be a guest on a podcast? Like, get clear about that. And I hope that helped them, because it's so easy to get swept away in all the tactics and you could do this and you could do that, when at the end of the day, about everything, not just about the podcast, but to really step back and go, why is this important? And is this important now? And how is this, you know, purpose driven in the moment?
My last question, or line of questioning really, is really around kind of connecting this directly to a lot of what myself and the listeners are working on, which is at its core behavior change. Mm-hmm. It's a mindset change, it's an attitude change, it's a lot of things. But at the end of the day, the hope is that can find ways for ourselves and to help others around us, of course, you know, make a difference in terms of how we show up, how we treat others, and mm-hmm. how we react to, you know, being triggered, and how we do those things. And so mm-hmm. to me, that's always been very connected to purpose. You have to understand kind of what it is you care about, your own case for change. Like, you mm-hmm. know, change doesn't just kind of impart itself just because you think it's a good idea. You have to mm-hmm. care enough for that change to happen.
Yeah.
So my question comes along the line of, how do you, I know we're saying find your purpose, and it can be different, it can be malleable, but to me, I think it's really important for people to find some part of their purpose connected to kind of helping, or at least being something positive for their organization and those around them, from like a human element of care. Mm-hmm. And I think it's to me, I firmly believe that it's in all of us as humans, that we naturally care. We naturally want people to be happy around us. We want to make people happy. Mm-hmm. And somewhere along the lines, you know, work needs and stressors and things like that kind of turn that into, you know, sometimes toxic environments or unhealthy relationships. Mm-hmm. I'm trying to word the question, and I haven't really gotten to it, but I'll put it very bluntly. Like, I want to be able to change people's purpose, or at least add to people's purpose, an element of care and love, really, if it doesn't already exist, or if I can elevate that within their purpose.
Mm-hmm. I see where you're coming from.
Do you have any advice for me?
I would say be careful about trying to change anyone. However, you might be able to influence or share what it's meant to you, show the power that it can have, help others tap into what they do truly care about. I do think, kind of like you, at the end of the day, people are probably driven by something that is very, like you said, oriented around helping human beings in some way. I don't think it can be forced. I don't think it could be imposed on. I think all you can do is continue to do what you're doing, exposing people to different ways of thinking about why they do what they do, talking about love as a business strategy, as a means to challenge their thinking and open up new opportunity for them to perhaps broaden or shift, you know, whatever's driving them. I try to honor whatever is someone's purpose or however they express it, because I think, who am I to tell them? Even though I kind of share your belief about how important it is, I just know how difficult it can be when you're trying to make that happen. And I think the best leaders can help others actually discover what that purpose is, provide the space, provide that non-judgmental opportunity for people just to talk about what they care about. And when people can talk about what they care about, that's really the indicator that you need to see about what's underneath that in terms of a purpose. So leaders can stir up that all they want and stir it up in themselves too. If they've lost it, to your point, if they feel like they are at a juncture where they need to do something different or new or iterate to the next level, to ask themselves the questions, you know, what is it that really lights me up now? What am I on fire about? What do I care about now? So that they can relight that fire and have that ultimately lead them in a direction that makes sense.
That's helpful. Thank you.
Yeah.
Real quick, can you talk a little bit about Take the Bull by the Horns, the Leadership Journal?
Oh, yeah.
Tell me
thanks.
A bit about those things and where people can check that out.
Yeah. Well, Take the Bull by the Horns came out a number of years ago. It was my first book. And I jokingly say my next book is going to be Stop Taking the Bull by the Horns. It does not need to be so hard, right? But Take the Bull by the Horns is a good, easy read with really great tips, questions to prompt you and your team if you're interested in that. Each page is two chapters, so super easy read. The Leadership Journal is just simply a weekly tool that leaders can use to help them focus 10 minutes or so once a week to answer the same five questions, to challenge their thinking, have them reflect on what really matters, fostering gratitude every week. It's so powerful. Mm. So that's another simple tool they can use. And then I'll have a new book coming out, hopefully by the end of the year, but I'm excited that that's coming out too. So thanks for asking.
Absolutely. And of course, the podcast CEO on the Go. I hope to be a CEO one day so I can join you on that podcast.
Yeah, CEO on the Go. It was so great to have your colleagues on there for Love as a Business Strategy episode. They did a great job. So so I'm like you, I'm continuing to run my podcast in a way that makes sense for me, that I think is fulfilling my purpose right now, but it's subject to change at any time.
I love it. I really appreciate the time you spent today. Everybody, please go check out the podcast, check out Take the Bull by the Horns, Leadership Journal. And Gail, I really appreciate the insights you had today. I look forward to hopefully more conversations that we can have around work matters as well, because I'm very interested. I think what you're doing is awesome and much needed in the world. So thank you for joining us today.
Thanks, Jeff. I appreciate it.
To the listeners, appreciate you as always. Check out our book, Love is a Business Strategy, while you're at it. If you haven't, I don't know why you're here, but Love is a Business Strategy is still there, still out there, still a bestseller. And subscribe, rate the podcast, tell a friend. We appreciate you. So with that, we will see everybody next week. Have a good one.